Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from our special guest.
Stay standing for me, okay? Because I want y'all to extend out a hand of blessing. Couple are two of my heroes in the faith because they represent everything we talk about in the kingdom. This is the Word made flesh. And they're so humble, they would never say that about themselves. But I'm going to testify that they walk with a love for the least in a way that I've never seen outside of Heidi Baker and whatnot. But I don't know Heidi, but I know them. It's absolutely fascinating to do. And so I just want to pray a blessing. I want y'all to extend out a hand over them. Father, we just honor this mighty couple, Lord God. I know that when the great cloud of witnesses cheers them on as ones who are honored by the Father. And I know when they finally are there amongst the great cloud of witnesses that there's going to be great saints of old that are coming up and shaking their hands saying, well done. Just as much as the Father says, well done. And so we say so many. We honor you. And we just release a blessing, Lord God. We just say right now that even in this pause that they've been here in the States, that it's a building up. It's going to be an overflow of intimacy that's going to flow into great numbers coming to know you, Jesus Christ. That there will be the discipleship-making movement that's already taken place in so many hot spots across the land that suddenly, God, that they're going to see an increase in fathers and mothers being raised up. Not just sons and daughters, but we just say they're going to see fathers and mothers that carry on to the third and the fourth and the thousandth generation of the work they've begun. And that they will be able to say, this is so good because God has been faithful to us to fulfill every promise to us. Even the ones we didn't even know he had for us, he's been faithful to fulfill the promises. So Lord, release your blessing over them right now. Favor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, good morning, Legacy.
Good morning.
Good morning to everybody online. It's great to be at our home church this morning. Thanks, Jay, for the... Okay. Just Stacy reviews all my sermon drafts for heresy. So this is Stacy certified. It's safe. There's nothing here that's gonna hurt you. Well, this is our home church. The problem is, as missionaries in the Middle East, we're not home very often. This is the longest I think we've been continuously in the U.S. in about 20 years. And the only missionary propaganda we have are our prayer cards. And we'd love for you to pray with us for the nations. We also want to say thank you for your prayers and pouring into us and your generous support. The goal today, and I'm going to land the plane with what's going on in that clip, but we have to lay some foundation for that to make sense. I'll just say that the girl you saw in the video and at the very end, her face, she was like many young Yazidi girls. She doesn't know how old she is. We think she's about 12 for 5 years and sold back. Got her back after 5 years the week that they were filming the documentary. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But my goal today, it's not to give you information. I'm not going to dazzle you with Bible knowledge or theology. I'm not a scholar. I'm still working on my first language, English. Living in Louisiana for 5 years set that back considerably. Stacy and I are just field grunts. We'll go to the next slide. Maybe. It's all right. So what I don't want to do, we don't need more information. We don't need more head knowledge. There's so much head knowledge in the church in the U.S. and the West. You know, they're the big head on the table. You know, we go to Bible studies and get information, and we sit there and listen to sermons and try to collect information. But the goal today and the goal of discipleship, you know, and that's what we're seeing globally right now, making disciples. We're making this paradigm shift from head knowledge to obedience. I can tell you, I can go into a room with a group of Muslims or Yazidi, and we can get them to obey Jesus that week at the first meeting. They'll do it. And actually, the hardest people to get to obey are Bible reading, every church Sunday attending Christians. Because we have just been trained, it's not in our DNA, we've been just trained to be consumers and collectors of information. And we've not heard this call to obedience and to actually following Jesus. Jerry Trousdale writes, "Obedience to the will of God unleashes the kingdom of God." There's a money statement for today. If you remember one thing, obedience to the will of God unleashes the kingdom of God. See, the world's mess, it's not going to be completely cleaned up until Jesus returns. But things can change on a very large scale. And societies, communities begin to change specifically because many people from all walks of life start aligning their actions to the will of God in every aspect of their life. So to see brokenness healed, our own brokenness, the brokenness of our communities and country and world, we need to see the world through the lens of the kingdom and then practice obedience to Jesus. That's how it gets fixed. See, after announcing the gospel of the kingdom, Jesus just did one thing. He's incredibly consistent. Jesus would announce the gospel of the kingdom, and then he just asked one question, one thing. Will you follow me? The gospel of the kingdom is here. Follow me. We're to follow. All right, next slide. But you know, it's so easy to get distracted and disoriented. You know, life happens. And in the fog of life, what we do often is, why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? That's our immediate default question. You know, if you ask the right questions, you have a better shot at getting the right answer. It's about the question. You know, right now, the world has questions. We have this pandemic going on that's having a ripple effect of all kinds of problems globally. In the Middle East, where we live, many people are asking, how did ISIS happen? You know, we always believed that if we fully implemented Islam, that everything would be perfect. And what we created was a catastrophe. You know, just a stat for you, Iraq is a 98% Muslim country. 63% of Iraqi citizens no longer consider themselves Muslim. They're questioning. This country has big questions right now, right? What do we do? What's going on? What is this about? How do we fix this? How do we stop this? How do we underline this? The world outside of God, in the nations here in the U.S., will always come at it the wrong way. We ask earthly questions and we come up with earthly answers. And the wisdom of the world is always an adventure in missing the mark. We come at it the wrong way. Albert Einstein wrote, "If I had 1 hour to solve a problem and my life depended on it, I would use the first 55 minutes determining the proper question to ask." See, the better question we should be asking today is, what is God doing? What's God's heart for this situation? You see, it's in seeking God's heart, God's plan, God's vision, that tells us what we, as disciples, should be doing. We together? All right. That's how we know how to proceed, what to do. We need to seek the will and the heart of the Father. We need and real transformation is the perspective of the kingdom. And I think getting to that place where we can have this kingdom perspective, it begins somewhere. It begins with trust. Isaiah 10:48. "Do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." You know, let's be honest. We might be feeling a little weary right now. You know, it's been a rough 2020. Yeah? You know, I do find the people who are the most anxious and afraid right now are the ones who are watching way too much TV. We haven't owned a TV in 10 years. It's really good. I got off mostly off Facebook. It was messing with my serenity. All right. It begins with trust. You know, when the tire is hitting the road, when the stuff of life is hitting the fan, do we really trust God? I mean, this is a gut check question to an earthly human perspective. You know? I've never seen, you know, where do we go first? I've never seen a bumper sticker transform a life or a community. I have never seen a yard sign create transformation. You know, we listen to talk radio, we get on the internet, we get on the blogs, and oh my God, we're going to bring the kingdom by posting on Facebook. Right? Let's go back one. Let's just stay on. We're a little bit ahead right now. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the only persons that we can trust to come at an issue, come at a situation without any self-interest. See, everybody outside of God, that means you and me, all right, we all have a little speck of agenda. Just a little bit. You know? I mean, I love Stacy, but I can't say I love her perfectly. You know, when we're having dynamic, or we call it rigorous fellowship, you know, there's always just a little bit of agenda there. Only God can love perfectly. And we can only ask the right questions when we know and we're sure, we're settled about who God is, and then knowing what he's doing, knowing his plan. And it goes to the heart of the gospel, the good news, and we'll unpack this. But see, we have to trust him and know him so we can trust the plan. One of the things about the plan is we aren't going to know, we don't know how it's going to end. That takes trust, right? I can you know, come into a situation, assess what's going on, and then kind of see what needs to be fixed, the solution, right? And I can tell you I am batting zero. Absolute zero. It has never gotten fixed the way I thought. The solution was something totally different, always better. You know, we weren't going to see the fruit then. So in Kurdistan, we're standing on the shoulders of the missionaries who came 150 years ago. We're starting to see some fruit right now in a hard place, but they planted the seeds 150 years ago faithfully. So trust is being able to walk into a situation not trusting God for the solution, and his ways aren't our ways. He fixes things in ways that he's really creative. Right? I mean, he's really good, and he made the universe. God is very, he can think of things that we have not thought about. Okay, but we have to trust him. If you don't know us, Stacy and I, we're missionaries in northern Iraq, and a big part of what we do is care for refugees and victims from ISIS. Just to say about refugees right now, there are 80 million refugees, displaced people on the planet. It's the largest number in history. It just came out this week. And the average stay in a UN refugee camp globally is 18 years, early days. And northern Iraq is our third post-genocide context. Along with Iraq, we wandered into the Rwanda genocide in neighboring Tanzania. And we work in an area of Kenya that had genocide in 2007, 2008. Okay, next slide. Friends, I cannot describe to you, there's no way to do it, to describe to you what genocide looks like. I cannot describe the level of destruction. Lives destroyed, communities destroyed, trust destroyed, countries destroyed. I can't describe the level of woundedness and brokenness and pain. I'll be transparent. When we first rolled into northern Iraq, I couldn't go to the refugee camps 2 days in a row. It was just too much. It was just horror story after horror story after horror story. And I'd have to alternate my days because it was just overwhelming. So you walk into that kind of landscape, and what do you do? How do you start? Well, why this happened? Again, our standard default question. Friends, evil is evil. Evil does what it does. Don't be surprised when people walking in darkness under the power of the kingdom of darkness do what they do. Sinners sin. Surprise. Shocker, right? See, but nothing is a surprise to God. There's nothing Jesus didn't deal with on the cross. Jesus is not sitting around this morning watching online and musing, oh, wow, Isis, I missed that one. Wish I had thought of that. Racism in America, didn't see that coming. Dang. See, the cross dealt with everything. The victory that began on the cross and burst forth from the open tomb on Easter morning, it accounts for all brokenness and all sin, everything. See, Jesus' victory was complete and total, and we who follow him walk in that. The victory has been won. We walk in that victory. So looking out over a genocide landscape or any destroyed landscape, looking out over our country right now, the question I think to ask is, God, what do you want to do here? How do you want to bring your kingdom here? Not just put it back the way it was, because that probably wasn't so great either. You know, we always find that out later, because we always think it's okay. You know, it's how do you want to redeem this and bring it under your good rule and your good reign? What would the kingdom of God look like coming on this place and this people? Can we pull back from the U.S. right now and just ask that question? What would that look like? You know, we have to humble ourselves like Job and realize we don't have the answers. Seek God. You know, I don't know. I still don't know how God is going to redeem this Yazidi genocide mess. I don't. We just go in there every day and go into it because we are called into it, trust him, do the next right thing. I don't know how he's going to fix it. But I know he's good, and I know he's competent, and he's incredibly creative. So to start with good questions, to have good questions, better questions, we have to be clear on in our head about the character and nature of God, God the Father. You know, so many of our problems right now, I think, are rooted in fatherlessness, you know? Beginning with earthly fathers. You know, if we take the father out of the family, the wheels are going to come off. The enemy is very smart. He knows where to hit. I pastored a church in New Orleans that was in a 90% African-American community. 80% of our kids didn't live with their natural parents. You know, I saw what that looked like. You know, I had a 10-year-old boy and asked him the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? He said, I'm going to be in jail. Why do you say that? My dad's in jail. My brother's in jail. My uncle's in jail. I'm going to be in jail. I mean, we have to seek to understand that. That's all he knows. I mean, we're going to sit there, oh, that's terrible. That's all he knows. Children in the U.S. are lacking fathers. And then there's just the damage done by bad fathers. I think Jane Kelly can attest to this. You know, I meet so many people who cannot accept a good, loving, heavenly father because their own fathers cause so much hurt. You know, if a person's father filter is broken, their ability to receive God's love is distorted. I hear people say, you know, my father was distant, uninterested, insensitive, passive, cold, impatient, critical, condemning. So God must be this way. You know, my father put work first, and although he didn't reject me, it sure felt like rejection. So I'm rejected. You know, we honor fathers today because our job is so important. You know, it's a tactic of the enemy to diminish that. You know, it's from us that children form their initial image as God the Father. Huge responsibility. You know, we provide our children with a tiny, imperfect glimmer of what God the Father is like. And I have to remind myself all the time, how my kids see me is how they're going to see God. Of course, I'm going to get it wrong, but I try to keep that perspective. And the world's big problem is that billions of people have no clue they have a loving father who is good and who desperately wants relationship with them and who wants to heal their brokenness and the brokenness of the world. The world doesn't know this. So it's when you can trust, that's when you can follow. So we've got to get that clear in our heads. When you start following Jesus, we begin to prove we believe what he says. So if we're settled in our minds that God is good and that we can trust him and his victory is complete, then we need to know his plan. You know? And again, it's trusting in that plan that it might not be the way we want it to work out. I got very frustrated in New Orleans with God because we got pretty good at, we were the land of broken toys. I shared this with Jay over coffee. I mean, we were just completely dysfunctional. It was New Orleans. And we would get really, really broken people and get them cleaned up and kind of healthy. And as soon as they got healthy and normal, they would leave. Because we were just all totally dysfunctional. You get that? They didn't fit anymore once they were healthy. They move on. And if we had been able to keep all the people that we had seen cleaned up, we would have had a big church. And that's the goal, right? You're supposed to have a big church to be successful. That's your identity, right? I am the pastor of a big church. Nickels and noses, right? And God had to 2x4 me and just say, I don't know what you're doing, but my goal is not a big church here. You're a triage center, and you're going to shoot arrows out. You get people cleaned up, and then they get shot out like arrows, and then they go impact other places. So that's what I'm doing here. You can do what you want, but that's the plan that I have. All right? I didn't have to like it. I reserved the right to grumble a little bit. You know, God's okay. God's a big boy. He can handle it. You know, so I reserve the right to not like things, but I'm going to do them out of obedience. But that's what his calling on our church, you know, was to be. So again, we need to know God's big plan to know where he's going. In the U.S., Christians talk about the plan of salvation. But, you know, for the most part, across the board, we have it completely wrong. The U.S. church is on this huge adventure of missing the mark. Okay? We've gotten away. It's not scriptural. I swear the most Bible churches are the most unscriptural. Seriously. It's not there. Read it. You know? We've gotten away from the Bible, and so we don't know God's actual plan of salvation. We don't know the gospel. We have an incomplete gospel in the U.S., and it shows. Next slide. There it is. So Stacy and I we're professional church visitors, and no one pays us, so we have to get on the road and raise support. In the fall, we visited, I think, 28 churches. I would say from our visits around the country and doing this for about 20 years that the majority of people sitting in the chairs and benches and pews on Sunday morning do not know the gospel. And a part of why is because I found that the majority of pastors don't know the gospel. Believe me? It's true. You're seeing symptoms of it. I'm just explaining. You're seeing the symptoms. I'm telling you why. What's going on here? I do workshops for clergy. I had two particular workshops today, and in both cases, not one clergy, not one pastor could tell me the gospel. I just got an email from a bishop this week out to his jurisdiction, and it was just crystal clear he doesn't know the gospel. You know, if we think there's a problem in the church, if the bride of Christ isn't being who she should be, I think the heart of the problem is we have a gospel problem. I want to diagnose that for you this morning. You know, if anybody really knows me, they know that my secret passion, you know, that place I go in my head when I'm quiet, is I want to be a Little League baseball coach. And I'm a pretty good Little League baseball coach, because I'm just a fundamentals guy. If you can throw the ball, catch the ball, and hit the ball, you're going to win a lot of games. Don't make it complicated. Just basic, like football, blocking and tackling. I think we need to put the church in the U.S. back to boot camp again and just start over on what is the gospel. because we're running off building Six Flags over Jesus and doing this and doing that. But we have a broken foundation. We have an incomplete gospel. See, it's when we understand the goal, God's heart, God's vision, that we can know what his plan is. We can start seeing what he's doing, start getting his heart. And then that informs what, as individuals, you and I should be doing, and what we as a community should be doing. Make sense? Okay. Good. You know, we pray the Lord's Prayer for the will of God to be done, but what is his goal? I just want to challenge you a little bit, this little rabbit trail, but I won't shoot it. We rattle off the Lord's Prayer all the time. Do we even know what we're saying? You know, I learned it in kindergarten and Catholic school from the nuns, Our Father, Hail Mary, just rattle it off. Do we ever actually look at what we're praying? Go slow through the Lord's Prayer. Go slow. Take it line by line. Think about line by line. Think about what we're actually praying for. See, at the heart of the gospel, the heart of the good news is the kingdom. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Matthew 6:33. All. You know, I looked up that all in the original Greek text. It's a really complicated word. In Greek, all means all. It has one meaning, everything. That's it. The kingdom is the answer to everything. All these things will be given to you. We have to remind people all the time as we get sort of hysterical here in the U.S. About the Middle East. There is no political solution to the Middle East. There is no diplomatic solution to the Middle East. There is no military solution to the Middle East. We've tried all of that. It doesn't work. The only answer is the gospel of the kingdom. And we should know this, Christ followers. We're following what's going on in the U.S., you know, and watching the shaking right now. The kingdom should be our default response to everything that's happening in the U.S. and the world around us. Is that a meddling now? I don't care if you don't like me because I won't be here next Sunday. Is that your default? Is that where you go, or do you get pulled over to this, or get pulled over to that, or I got to get this bumper sticker, or a poster, or sign this thing, or that, you know? Where do you get pulled? Where do you go first? Our default should be the kingdom of God. Gee, Jared, that's a good question. All right. See, we're off track in the West, and a big part of the solution, getting the train back on the rails, just getting the gospel right. Do you really understand the gospel of the kingdom? St. Augustine wrote, "Do you wish the kingdom of heaven to be yours hereafter? See to what kingdom you belong now." We are so focused on what's going to happen to me when I die, and I want to go to heaven, and everything is there. You know, I'm just sitting around waiting to be rapture ready here, and you know. See, this matters for followers of Jesus because that was his mission. That's his point. That's what he was talking about. That's what he's doing now. It's what he launched and what he's leading now and what he's calling each one of us to right now. So this is the heart of being a disciple. Are we following? Are we following him? Jesus came into Galilee preaching the good news, saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." The coming of the kingdom was the heart of his message. And it's the proclamation of the king. It's two-part. We got to get this. It's two-part. The good news is the king and his kingdom are here. They go together and we separate them. See, in America, we talk about the king and we always forget that he has a kingdom. Right? You can hear all kinds of sermons and read all kinds of theology, and it's all about the king, but there's no mention of the kingdom. That's part and parcel of the good news. Yeah. The kingdom is God's gracious, God's victorious response to the powers of hell and the restoration of all that was lost in the fall. When we pray, thy kingdom come, we mean here and now. Jesus' resurrection, my friend Tom Wright notes, it's the beginning of God's new project, not to snatch people away from earth to heaven, but to colonize earth with the life of heaven. That is what the Lord's Prayer is all about. We get that? There's just so much wrong out there right now of the focus being on just, I'm ready, Lord, take me, call me home. Home where? And it to me, it just sounds stupid. Does anybody really like harp music? I hate it. I just hate it. And I don't want a cloud. I don't like fluffy stuff. That's just awful. It's not biblical. It's bad, and it's just terrible. It nothing that has nothing to do with what Jesus talked about or is doing. In Matthew 9:35, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and affliction. There it is, friends. The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the king, the real gospel, the complete gospel, the full gospel, makes disciples who make disciples who transform communities. Jesus, newsflash, Jesus never ever said make church members. Isn't that what we do? You know, one of the things we try to do with new believers, you know, people who have never heard the gospel, one thing we never want them to see what a church member looks like. Because church members don't reproduce. They don't multiply. They sit, and they get entertained a bit, and they're church members. We don't ever let them see what a church member looked like. Jesus never said, invite people to your church and join your denomination. Isn't that kind of what we do? A whole lot? That ain't it. You know, as long as we preach the wrong gospel, Jesus' mission, bringing the kingdom, will not be complete. There will be no transformation. Communities will stay broken. If we don't understand this, we're going to keep producing nominal Christians who are shaped by a half gospel that doesn't reproduce and it doesn't transform lives and communities. Boom. Okay. Next slide. Jesus doesn't call us just to make disciples about the gospel, but to be disciples because of the gospel. You know, in addition to leaving out the kingdom here in the U.S., we leave out follow. I'm going to say right now, it is not a complete gospel. It's an incomplete gospel if I don't hear kingdom and follow. And it matters. Because at the heart of the gospel is this big question, are you doing the will of God? Following Jesus is the key to entering the kingdom. It's more than a decision. It's a new way of life. Disciples follow Jesus and do his will. And the kingdom of God is where the people of God are doing his will. Let's do that one again. The kingdom of God is when the people of God are doing his will. That's when we see people and places change. We together? A little bit? Some of you aren't sure? Okay. You know, when people are pursuing the will of God faithfully, the sick recover, the blind see, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the oppressed are set free, the dead come to life, the poor receive good news, broken hearts are mended, broken relationships are reconciled, broken communities are transformed. That's when we see it. And friends, it's beautiful when the kingdom of God comes. It is on a life, on a community, there is nothing more beautiful. See, Jesus' gospel, it didn't call people to pray a little prayer for their sins to be forgiven so that they'd get to go to heaven when they die. Where did he ever say that? You know, and presenting the gospel this way, it doesn't fulfill Jesus' purposes. Jesus' gospel called people to follow him, advancing his rule and reign, no matter the cost, no matter the conditions, no excuses, restoring and reconciling all of creation to himself. All creation. A life transformed, then a community. He's a king, and his kingdom changes everything. right? That's his mission. That's his plan. That's what he's doing. Now, oftentimes, though, we think we're the hero of the play. It's all about me and my salvation. Only Americans, Westerners, could make the gospel about themselves. We're the only people uniquely qualified to do that. It's about my relationship with God and my salvation and getting to heaven. You know, one thing you find, though, this little experience in life and ministry is you know you're operating in the gospel when it's not about you. If the focus is on you, then you're not operating in the gospel. We learned in New Orleans that after Katrina, we had thousands of volunteers come in every year from around the country to help us rebuild. And initially, we thought this was great, and it was about us. God sending these people to rebuild us, our church, our community. And then we just had this revelation one day that actually what God was doing was that it was about the people coming in. Coming on mission, being obedient, doing the will of God, serving, loving. We realized, oh, we're not the main actor here. This is God's doing in their lives. And it changed the whole way we did ministry, because now we saw as we had a ministry to them as they came in. We weren't just sitting here receiving. It's never about us. You know, we're not the center of the universe. You know, again, we just think it's, you know, me and my salvation, and then Jesus comes on the scene to help me out a little bit. Like he's a side actor, best supporting actor, because it's about me. Okay, newsflash. God is not circling around you. Me and my salvation are not the goal of Christianity. My friend Tom continues, God made humans for a purpose, not simply so that they could be in relationship with him, but through him as image bearers, he could bring his wise, glad, and fruitful order to the world. God's goal is the healing of the nations. God is rescuing us from the shipwreck of the world, not so that we can sit back and put our feet up in his company, but so that we can be part of his plan to remake the world. It's not about you. It's about God and his plan. Are we together? Yeah. So if we look at Mark 1, 14, 17, we just see the four essential elements of the gospel that Jesus really preached. Here it is. This is it. This is what Jesus said. The kingdom is here. Repent of sin. Believe the gospel. Follow me. That's a complete gospel package right there. Repentance, belief, and spirit-filled obedience all go together. The king and his kingdom are here. And since the fall, God has been putting things back in place so that this planet might be restored under his rule. And God's kingdom advances every time a person hears the gospel, repents, and begins to follow Jesus by faith with an obedience. That's, you know, being born again, it ultimately what it is, if you really want to understand this, I think, is it's basically saying, I drop my agenda for God's agenda. Get self out of there, die to self. That's ultimately what we're saying. I had to reach a point in my this early 30s where I went to church a lot, but I had to reach a place where I said, I am unqualified to manage my life anymore. I have driven the car into a ditch, okay? I am not qualified to lead the car anymore, and I'm handing over the keys. That's basically what it means to be born again. Our agenda dies, and we take on God's agenda. Now it's just knowing what God's agenda is, and that's to heal the planet, heal the nations. Fix everything that was broken in the fall. Restore everything back under his good rule and reign. That's what he's doing. That's what he calls, that's his agenda. And see, when God draws people to himself and we see the kingdom, that's when hearts begin to turn. You know, I've never seen, a life transformed, a community transformed by information or by a statement of doctrine. Oops, did he go there? Just did. Yeah. I'm not against that. I'm just saying what this looks like. Healing begins when people see a loving Father and the beauty of his kingdom. You know, the kingdom of God changes everything. The Yazidi people we work with, you know, they said this to us. They said, the refugees, no one has ever loved us like you do. Like, you really love us. And you're not trying to sell us on anything or make us, you know, be who we're not. You just love us. And the other thing is everybody else left. All the non-faith-based organizations pulled out, maybe some of the faith-based. But you all stayed. Why? See, that's what I want to get them to is the why question. Then we have something to say. Why? But they saw the kingdom first. So as missionaries in the Middle East, what on earth, what are we trying to accomplish? What are we asking you to pray for? What are we asking you to invest in? You know, in the big picture, what we're doing is bringing the kingdom of God to people who live in darkness. We're advancing the rule and reign of God, putting all this brokenness under his lordship by making disciples who make disciples who bring heaven to earth. Do that one again. We're advancing God's kingdom by making disciples who make disciples who bring heaven to earth. Bless you. Fully formed in the kingdom of God disciples. That's God's will. That should be the purpose of the church. Newsflash, the church is not the kingdom. It's not. The church is not the kingdom. Doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. It's not. St. Augustine started that a little bit and we got carried away with it. It's not there. The church is an agency of the kingdom. We're not the end, we're the means. Our goal as an agency, a body, is to bring the kingdom. We're not an end of ourself. Stacy, our daughter and I, we minister with others again to these Yazidi people, and we saw that clip this morning. They are a distinct people group. They're about 8,000 years old. They had never heard the gospel or engaged with Christians until 2014 when ISIS came. Wow. Ever. If you tried to get near them, they'd stone you. They were a closed-off people group out in northwestern Iraq. And just as a reminder, 42% of all the world's people groups, more than 3 billion people, have no access to the gospel. 85% of all the world's Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists will never meet a Christ follower in their lifetime. Now, only 3% of all missionaries go to the Islamic world with 1.5 billion souls. 3% of us. So the Yazidi people, they have their own religion. They worship a peacock. We're working on that. Okay. ISIS was the 74th genocide against them. There are about 1 million of these people left on the planet. 750,000 are now in UN refugee camps in northern Iraq. They no longer get food from the UN. Summers are miserable. It can get up to 125 degrees in their tents with no shade and no electricity. Imagine no fan. But what's interesting is, I mean, we hate the summer. We call it the inferno. You know, it's just, it cools down to 105 at night, you know. And it's awful, but they get through that. They absolutely live in fear of the wintertime because it drops below freezing, and the UN gave them one blanket and one mattress per tent, per family. Average number is 7 in a tent. So they freeze to death in the winter. We had one night where 30 kids froze to death in one camp. So when we first ran into them in 2014, fleeing from ISIS and over time, they were just a no people. They had given up. I don't know if you've ever met, I can't say I'd ever before, working with truly hopeless people. People who've just absolutely given up and have zero, zero hope. I can't describe what that looks like. It was just pain and loss. But in came the believers. Next slide. That's our team at the bottom there when Jay was with us last summer. In came the believers, and operating out of obedience, pursuing the kingdom, not trying to grow a denomination, just praying with the refugees and for them, and showing them God's love, and providing real, tangible relief, blankets, mattresses, food, medicine, by listening to their stories of trauma, sharing God's word with them. The atmosphere of camp is changing. It's palpable. I can close my eyes and walk in and feel that something has shifted. It's different. The kingdom of God is coming upon them. And we didn't plant a church or bring a denomination. We came in with the whole gospel. The whole gospel of the kingdom. You know, there were no smiles when we started, no laughter, but when followers came in and just started doing God's will and just do the next right thing in the middle of this mess, things began to change. Next slide. We're seeing hope. We're seeing smiles. We're seeing them go off to university and college. Yeah. We're seeing people who never knew Jesus come into his kingdom, obeying Jesus and sharing about Jesus. And they're advancing his kingdom by loving others and forgiving and sharing and trying to lead lives of integrity and peace and forgiveness. The kingdom of God changes everything. You know, we rolled into an area of Kenya post-genocide, and it was the strangest place. We still have the distinction of being the only white people who have ever spent the night there. Ever. Like, they didn't know what to do with us when we first got there. They took us right to the police station. Because we didn't know what to do with these white people. What do you do with white people? Take them to the police station. So there we went. And it was the strangest place because there were no young or middle-aged men. It was just widows and orphans. All of the men and older boys were genocided, killed by the tribe down the road. All. The moms were prostituting themselves for kerosene so their kids could have light in the evening to study. There were about 7 believers in that area when we first got there. And so in came the kingdom, and we got them. We stopped the prostitution immediately by getting them solar lights. They had light at night, no more prostitution. We got them a Bible and mosquito netting and clean water, and then we built a school. They marched down the road and went to the tribe that genocided them and built a school for their children. They said, these crazy white people came and gave us a school, so we're going to bless you and give you a school. And they share with them what we send them. And now we have at least 2,500 believers in the area. Baptisms among both tribes. You see, there was no government policy or plan that was going to do that. We together? We were not invited in by the government. This was not a policy. It was the kingdom of God. That's the only way to fix the mess. And he did it. God did it. So let's land the plane. Back to our original better question. What is the will of God? The good news is that the king has come with a kingdom. He has defeated death and sin, and he's setting everything right. And his kingdom undoes all the curses of the fall. But the message of this king, it demands a response. Jesus says to you, follow me. It demands a response. Repent, believe, follow. Okay. Harry Brown writes, the power of God is not held back by the evil one. It lays dormant behind a door called obedience, waiting for the people of God to open the door and let it flow. And the people of God who are being unleashed are the ordinary and unlikely folks who, for a very long time, have been told they are not qualified and not ready. So there they sat. Guess what? If you are a follower of Jesus, you are qualified and ready. We are certifying you today as qualified and ready to go advance the kingdom. You can go out and advance the kingdom. The door to go through is simply obedience. That's all you have to do is go through that door. So let's practice some obedience and bring the kingdom. Again, if we practice obedience, the kingdom comes. Does this country need the kingdom right now? All right. So last slide. Look at your life. Look at the community. Look at the country. Look at the world. And just sit with this for a little while this week and think about what isn't right. What isn't the way it should be? What isn't in God's will? Maybe there's just a holy discontent within you. When I've walked into really crummy situations, I mean bad, my first gut reaction has usually been with a little bit of anger, this is not acceptable. When we saw the widows prostituting themselves and living like that, my response was just, this is not acceptable. We are going to do something about this because it's not God's will. So is there an issue, something happening? Maybe it's just a stubborn sin in your own life. Ask the better question. This week, just press into that question and then ask, God, what is your heart here? God, how do you want to bring your kingdom to this situation, to my stubborn sin, to what's going on in the U.S., to something going on in your family, something going on in the world? How do you want to put this situation under your good rule and reign? Show me. Show me the first step of obedience. Just show me the next step I need to take. I don't need to see the end plan even. I trust you because you're good. Show me. Pray. Fast. Talk to others who you see are following Jesus. Trust him. He's a good father. You can trust his intentions and his good plan. I've told my Calvinist friends that I can't help it if I'm not predestined, but I'm just going to follow God anyway because he's good. By the way, they have no response to that. If you want to just break a Calvinist, if you try it, it's fun. Their head will explode. They have no paradigm for answering that. It's kind of cool. But we prove our faith by following. Jesus says follow. What does that mean? It means watching, studying, seeking, and listening to the one in front. On any issue, whatever that issue is for you, watch, study him, seek him, listen to the one. He's in front. He's good and he has a good plan. I want to close with the prayer of St. Francis. If you've never heard it, it might be familiar to you. It's a great prayer of the kingdom. I think it shows us what the kingdom looks like. It gives us a glimmer, and I love it. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is error, truth. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Master, grant that I may not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to understand, be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.